إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم ومن ولا بعد. My brothers and sisters, we continue with our lectures on a series of lectures on the seerah of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, focusing on his rights on his ummah, his rights on us. As I mentioned earlier, the issue of rights is that we will be questioned about them. We are obligated to fulfill them, and we will be questioned about them. About the rights of people, the huquq ul ibad, Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not forgive any transgressions against the rights of people until they forgive those transgressions themselves. On the Day of Judgment, nobody will forgive any of that. And therefore, it is essential to make sure that we fulfill all the rights of the people. Among the rights of the people, the very first and foremost and most important and the most critical of them are the rights of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on us, his ummah. It's only when the rights of the Nabi are fulfilled that we can look to the rights of others. So before even the rights of parents, before the rights of family, before the rights of anybody, come the rights of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is the reason why it is absolutely critical and essential to ensure that we know what these rights are and that we fulfill them. And that's why I started this series of lectures. Alhamdulillah, we have been through several of them. We come today to the right of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he should be helped by his ummah in his work. The nusrat, to help Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in every way, to help his deen and to help the propagation of his deen, to help the spreading of his message alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, in tansurullaha yansurkum wa yuthabbit aqdamakum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O you who believe, if you help the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in tansurullaha yansurkum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, if you help Allah. Now obviously Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala huwa samad. Allah is not in need of anything including our help. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is using this terminology in order to emphasize the issue of helping the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah is resembling it, and he is comparing it to helping himself jalla jalaluhu. So instead of saying that if you help the deen of Allah, Allah is saying if you help Allah. Now this gives us an idea about the importance of the work of Da'watul Islam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, in tansurullaha yansurkum. If you help Allah, if you help the deen of Allah, he will help you, and wa yuthabbit aqdamakum, and he will make you stand firm. He will make your feet firm in the path. He will give you, he will protect you, and he will establish you. Today we are running around in circles, trying to figure out what we must do in order to get the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our lives. We feel threatened in many ways, in many places, and there are all kinds of schemes and all kinds of planning and so on and so forth going on with respect to elections, with respect to all kinds of things, of respect to the economy, with respect to politics, and we say, how can we save ourselves? How can we protect ourselves? How can we protect the community? But very sadly, we do not look at a clear statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his kalam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us very clearly, you want the help of Allah, help the deen of Allah. Very clearly, I mean, what is the complication, what is the confusion about this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said very, very, very clearly, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, in tansurullaha yansurkum, wa yuthabbit aqdamakum, and Allah will establish you and establish your feet firmly on the path. Now, I think that is why it's very important for us to, before we go running around here and there and cooking up schemes, let us look at what the Quran al-Karim tells us. And then you will realize that there is no need for any of the cook-up of the screen of the schemes. Do the work of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalal. I still remember very clearly, I mentioned this story I don't know how many times, but it's worth mentioning many more times. And that is in Zakat Trust, after in 2002, after the debacle in Gujarat, after the massacres in Gujarat, there was a fundraising going on there, and I was one of the speakers. And also, another speaker was Professor Kancha Elaya, who was at that time professor in the Usmani University. Now he's Professor Emeritus, he's retired. So I remember his speech. He started off by saying, he said, you have a book and you have a duty. And your duty was to bring your book to us. He said, but instead of doing your duty, instead of bringing your book to us, you chose to keep the book to yourself and you chose to die in your muhallas and in your bastis and in your homes. He said, if instead of that, if you had decided and said to yourselves that I have to die anyway, let me die with this book in my hand, in the muhallas and the bastis of the people who are not Muslim, let me take this book to them, and if I have to die, let me die there, not in my house and not in my basti and not in my muhalla. He said, if you had decided to do that, he said, not only would you not have died, but the history of this country would be different. Who is saying this? Professor Kancha Elaya. May Allah give him hidayat. The point I'm saying is that we must face some facts. And the primary fact of that is that the solution to our problems has already been defined by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, who is the one who solves all problems. Now, if we want to listen to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alhamdulillah. But if we don't want to listen to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, still only that will happen which Allah has already written. And Allah has written, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِن تَنْصُرُوا اللَّهَ يَنْصُرْكُمْ وَيُثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَكُمْ. O you who believe, if you help the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you help the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help you. And He will make your feet firm. He will establish you and you will find His nusrat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُونُوا أَنصَارَ اللَّهِ كَمَا قَالَ عِيسَى بْنُ مَرْيَمَ لِلْحَوَارِيِّينَ مَنْ أَنصَارِ إِلَى اللَّهِ قَالَ الْحَوَارِيُّونَ نَحْنُ أَنصَارُ اللَّهِ فَآمَنَتْ طَائِفَةٌ مِّن بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ وَكَفَرَتْ طَائِفَةٌ فَأَيَّدْنَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا عَلَىٰ عَدُوِّهِمْ فَأَصْبَحُوا ظَاهِرِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Saff, which means, O you who believe, will you be helpers? Be you helpers in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as said Isa ibn Maryam alayhi salam to al-Hawariyun, to his disciples, who are my helpers in the cause of Allah? Isa alayhi salam asked them, man ansari ilallah, who are my ansar, who are my helpers in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Al-Hawariyin, the disciples of Isa alayhi salam, they said, Nahnu Ansarullah. We are the helpers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are the helpers of, in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we will work and we will strive in His path. And then a group of the Bani Israel believed and a group disbelieved. So we gave power to those who believed against their enemies, and they triumphed and they won and they became uppermost. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ha antum ha ulai tud'auna li tunfiqu fi sabilillahi faminkum man yabkhal wa man yabkhal fa innama yabkhalu an nafsih wallahu al-ghani wa antumul fuqara wa in tawallaw yastabdil qawman ghayrakum thumma la yakunu amthalakum. In Surah Muhammad, in Surah Al-Dahr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not Surah Dahr, in Surah Muhammad, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, behold, Allah said, look and see, you are those who are called to spend in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet among you are some who are stingy. And whoever is stingy, he is stingy at the expense of himself. Because Allah is ghani wa antum al-fuqara. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-ghani. Allah is free from all wants, and you, Allah is addressing all of humanity. Allah said, you are the beggars. You are the fuqara. You are the beggars. You are the people who are helpless, who need from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every single breath that you take. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ghani wa antum al-fuqara. And if you turn away from Islam, if you turn away from the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yastabdil qawma ghayrakum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will change you for another people, and they will not be like you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warned very, very clearly that if you are doing the work of deen, you are not doing a favor to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are doing the work of deen, this is a favor to yourself. And if you do not want to do the work of deen, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove you, and instead of you, Allah will bring somebody else. And Allah said, they will not be like you. My brothers and sisters, the issue of helping Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is one of the most important ways, if not the most important way, in which we are connected with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Please understand that our connection with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is not a connection of lineage. It's not a connection of family. It's not a connection of race. We are not connected with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam because he is Arab and we are Arab. I mean, not me, but I'm saying people who are Arab. We are not connected with him because he is my cousin or my uncle or my grandfather. We are not connected with him for any reason, because he is from this nationality or that nationality. We are connected with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam only and only because we are the ummatis of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And what is the meaning of being an ummati of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? It means that we do the work which he used to do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam how to introduce himself. He said, قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي أَدْعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ عَلَى بَصِيرَةٍ أَنَا وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَنِي. Allah said, say, this is my way. This is my way that I invite towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with proof, with evidence. Who does it? أَنَا وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَنِي. I do it and those who follow me do this work. My ummatis do this work. This is the connection with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam through his work, not with anybody else. If a person is an Arab, if he is from the Banu Hashim, if he is from the Banu Abdul Muttalib, if he is the closest relative of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has the genes of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his body. He has the blood of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam running through his veins, but he does not do the work of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is not related to him. Do we know such a person? Yes. Abu Lahab, Abu Talib, the uncles of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The only relationship closer to that is the father. Did the relationship with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, did the lineage, did the hasab and nasab, did the family of being a family member of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not just any family member, I'm not his cousin's brother-in-law, he is his personal, his father's brother. In terms of status, he has the same status as the father. Did that relationship help them? It did not help them. In the case of Abu Lahab, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the Quran to say what is going to be the end of Abu Lahab. In the case of Abu Talib, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked, what will happen to your uncle? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, because he helped me, he didn't follow me, he didn't believe in me, but because he helped me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will decrease his adab in the hellfire. They said, Ya Rasulullah, what is the meaning of decreasing of adab? Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put on his feet sandals of fire, because of which his brain will boil like water. This is the least of the adab. So what is our connection to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Our connection is the work of Dawat of Islam. Because that is what he alayhi salam came to do, and that is what gives us the connection with him. And those who are connected with him through the work of Islam, what can they look forward to, inshallah? They can look forward to his shafaat on the day of judgment. When inshallah al-musta'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept his shafaat in favor of those who did the work of Islam. They can look forward to forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They can look forward, inshallah al-musta'an, to Jannat al-Firdaus al-Ala bi ghayri hisab and the company of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. There is nothing greater than this except for the deedar of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. My brothers and sisters, this is a connection which we need. It's a connection which is critical to our own salvation. And so it is something which is essential for us to think about and make every effort to be counted among those who helped the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in his usual majestic and imperious way, Allah said, إِلَّا تَنْصُرُهُ فَقَدْ نَصَرَهُ اللَّهِ إِذْ أَخْرَجَهُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا ثَانِيَ اثْنَيْنِ إِذْ هُمَا فِي الْغَارِ إِذْ يَقُولُ لِسَاحِبِهِ لَا تَحْزَنْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَانَا فَأَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ سَكِينَتَهُ عَلَيْهِ وَأَيَّدَهُ بِجُنُودٍ لَمْ تَرَوْهَا وَجَعَلَ كَلِمَةَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا السُّفْلَى وَكَلِمَةُ اللَّهِ هِيَ الْعُلْيَا وَاللَّهُ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Tawbah, if you do not help Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it does not matter to Allah. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already helped him. Indeed, Allah helped him when the disbelievers drove him out. The second of two, when they, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, were in the cave, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to his companion Abu Bakr, do not be sad, do not be afraid, surely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with us. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu could see the feet of the pursuers through the opening the mouth of the cave. They were standing on the lip of the cave. He said, Ya Rasulullah, they only have to look down. They will see us. Rasulullah said, what do you say about the two, the third of whom is Allah? And it is the ajeeb qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not save Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by sending down Jibreel salam or Malaika with swords of fire, or he didn't raise a wall. All that Allah did was he ordered a spider to make a web. Spiders, Allah mentioned the spider's web in the Quran and he said, this is the weakest of homes. Inna awhanal buyuti la baytul ankabut. Allah said, the weakest of homes and houses is the house of the ankabut, of the spider. Allah uses the weakest of his creatures and the weakest of that weak creature to shield the best of his makhluk against all the power of those who want to destroy him. Allah wants to show whose khudrat is this. Yes, if they look down. Big two-letter word is if. How will they look down? when the one who controls their eyesight does not permit them to look down. And even if they had looked down, they would not have seen anything. They would have seen nothing. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. So Allah is saying that even if you do not want to help, don't worry, doesn't matter. Allah is telling you, Allah is opening a door for your salvation by saying, help Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not because he needs your help. You need to do that work. He does not need your help. You need to do that work. And if you don't want to do that work, no problem. No problem. Allah said, Allah already helped him. And Allah will exchange, Allah will send others who will not be like you. And then Allah said, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent his sakina, he sent his calmness and tranquility upon Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and strengthened him with forces which you could not see. Junud illam tarawha. Allah strengthened them with forces that you could not see. And he made the word, he made the desire, the will and the irada of those who disbelieved the lowermost, while the word of Allah became the uppermost. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is almighty and all wise. Now, brothers and sisters, this makes it abundantly clear that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions helping his deen or helping his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's not because they need it, but because we need it. It is a means for our salvation. And it's our salvation which is in question, not the deen of Allah. It is something which we seem to have forgotten. We seem to live in a way as if we believe that our salvation is absolutely assured and guaranteed. I don't know by whom, because Allah didn't guarantee this. So do we have someone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is guaranteeing our salvation? If you have somebody like that, then you... what must I say? Allah did not guarantee your and my salvation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you want salvation, you have to work for it. You do the right things, you make tawbah if you do something wrong. You invest your time and money and energy and effort. But if you do not do all of this, then do not have any faith and don't have any belief that you will be forgiven, because you will not be forgiven. Illa mashallah, of course Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can forgive whoever he likes. We are not trying to, by saying this, I am not restricting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's power to forgive who he likes. I am merely explaining to you the boundaries of Islam as we have been taught. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يُرِدُونَ أَن يُطْفِئُوا نُورَ اللَّهِ بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ وَيَأْبَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا أَن يُتِمَّ نُورَهُ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, they, the disbelievers, the people who are the enemies of Islam, they want to extinguish the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with which Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent, which is Islam. They want to extinguish Islam, they want to extinguish the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ, by blowing on it, like you blow out a candle. They think Islam is something as weak as that. It's a candle that if you just blow on it, it will be put out. It will be extinguished. They want to do it with their mouths, but Allah will not allow, except that His light should be perfected, even though the disbelievers do not like it. They hate it. And then He said, هُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَى وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ لِيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ. Allah said, it is He, Jalla Jalaluhu, who sent His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam with guidance and the religion of truth, Islam, to make it superior over all other religions and ways of being. Even though the mushrikun, the polytheists and so forth and disbelievers, even though they hate it. And then Allah said, هُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَى وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ لِيُزْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ شَهِيدًا. In Surah Al-Fatih, Allah said, He is the one who sent His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with guidance and the religion of truth, that He may make this religion, Islam, the most preferred, the most superior over all other religions and ways of being, and all sufficient is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a witness. I remind myself anew that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as the last and final Nabi and Rasul, after whom there is no other. Anyone who believes that anybody who came after Rasulullah was a Nabi or was a Rasul or knew anything which Rasulullah did not know, or he received wahi which Rasulullah did not receive, then this person has exited Islam. That person is not a Muslim anymore. That person is a murtad. And anyone who follows that person is also a murtad. Anyone who follows a person is also not a Muslim. People are most welcome to make any claim they want. And they are most welcome to lead as many people as they want. We have no quarrel with that. Except that they are not Muslim. If they call themselves Muslim, that is their mistaken impression. By calling yourself Muslim, you do not become a Muslim. If I call myself an elephant, I don't become an elephant. I would love to, but doesn't work like that, right? It's as simple as that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about this, the finality of the messengership, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, مَا كَانَ مُحَمَّدٌ أَبَا أَحَدٍ مِّن رِجَالِكُمْ وَلَكِنْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَخَاتَمَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمًا. Allah said in Surah Al-Ahzab, ayah number 40, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is not the father of any man among you. Because the only survivors of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam were his daughters. And he said, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is not the father of any man among you, but he is the messenger of Allah and the last of the prophets. And Allah is ever all aware of everything. Allah said, Khatamun Nabiyyin, because every Rasul is a Nabi, but every Nabi is not a Rasul. So when Allah said Khatamun Nabiyyin, automatically it also means Khatamul Mursaleen. There cannot be a person who is not a Nabi, but he's a Rasul. That's not possible. The Anbiya are the fundamental stage, and some of the Anbiya were Rasuls, and some of the Rasuls, they got books, and they were Sahib of the of Sharia. They brought different Sharias, and so on. I mean, the same Sharia, but different people brought them, like Musa alayhi salam, Isa alayhi salam. Just to give you an example, Musa alayhi salam is Sahib of Sharia, Isa alayhi salam is among the Ulul Azam Minar Rusul, but he is not Sahib of Sharia. He did not bring a Sharia. Isa alayhi salam came on the Sharia of Musa alayhi salam. Isa alayhi salam came to the people of Bani Israel, whose Nabi and Sharia is who? Musa alayhi salam. That's the difference. Although both of them are among the greatest of the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Rasulullah is the last and final one. After that, there is nobody else. Anyone after Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam who claims, as I mentioned, who claims to be a Nabi or Rasul, or anyone who claims revelation. For example, somebody says that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, somebody says that on the 27th of Ramadan, 27th night, is Laylatul Qadr. He's making this as a definitive statement. 27th of Ramadan Al-Kareem is Laylatul Qadr. You ask him, how do you know this? Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hadith is very clear. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had informed me of the particular night on which is Laylatul Qadr, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made me forget that. So therefore seek Laylatul Qadr among the odd nights of the last 10 nights of Ramadan. This hadith is absolutely clear. This is Sahih hadith. There is no doubt about this. So if you go to this person and say, the Nabi alayhi salam, he said that he did not know. Allah made him forget which is the specific night. He did not name a particular date. How is it that you say that? And this person says, no, but I know. Allah informed me. So what are you looking at? You're looking at a person who has exited Islam. You're looking at a person who's not a Muslim, because he is claiming to have knowledge which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not have. That person has exited Islam. Therefore, anyone who follows this person has also exited Islam, because you are choosing that. This person says, on this particular night, you must pray this 2 rakat of salah and you must recite this and that and the other. This person is inventing an ibadah which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam never did. So you're looking at a person who has exited Islam. Whoever follows him also follows him wherever he goes. For example, about Yawmul Ashura, what did Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, fast on this day and I hope from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hadith in Sahih Muslim, I hope from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah will forgive the sins for the preceding year. He said, fast on Yawmul Arafah, the 9th of Dhul Hijjah, and I hope from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He will forgive the sins of the preceding and the succeeding year. Did Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam specify a particular ibadah to be done on this day? No. But there are people who will tell you, read 2 rakat of salah, in the first rakat recite surah, after surah al-Fatiha, recite surah al-Ikhlas 60 times, in the second rakat do the same, and Allah will give you the reward for worshipping for 60 years, and so on and so on. Question to ask is, are you receiving wahi? How is it that you are saying this which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never said? Did Allah tell you? This is like a joke somebody sent me. So there is this fakir, he is begging. And he tells this boy, please give me this, please give me. So he said, this boy says, if I give you, what will you give me? He said, you will get Jannah. So he said, okay, Delhi is yours, take it. Delhi tumhara, le jao. So this fakir said, Delhi tere baap ka hai, mere jagah se deta hai. Wala Jannah tere baap ki hai, mujhe de raha. This is like that. This is like this joke. Somebody says, do this 2 rakat of salah, this will happen, that will happen. The first question to ask him, are you Allah? Did you descend in human form? Or are you a Nabi of Allah? How is it you are promising things on behalf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalla? My brothers and sisters, this is not a joke. It's very, very serious. This is kufr. This is straight exit out of Islam. Grease slide straight into the pit. Please understand, the deen, you enter Islam because of belief. You will exit Islam because of belief. It's not, two horns won't grow on your head, you won't get a fork tail. No. You will still look the same. You will still die. People may perform, I'm serious, people will give you ghusl and perform janaza and you know, they will take the ihram and wash it in zamzam and then they will wrap you in this ihram and when you enter your qabr and when they close it and then the fire starts, then you will start wondering what happened to this zamzam. Seriously, get real with life. This deen is the deen which Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam brought. This is the deen of dalil. This is the deen of proof and evidence. قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِ عَدُوْ إِلَى اللَّهِ عَلَى بَصِيرَةٍ. There is no mythology in Islam. There is no superstition in Islam. So let us not fall into this trap. Do what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us to do. If you have a doubt, refer to the Quran and the Sunnah. And if you don't find it there, don't worry who else is telling you to do that. Don't do it. Because otherwise, that person and you will both go to the same place, which we don't want to go. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from that. My brothers and sisters, as an honor for His Nabi and His Nabi's Ummah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the job of conveying the message of Islam to the rest of the world. Please understand, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the last of the Anbiya. But the work of the Anbiya, the work of Da'watul Islam has not stopped. The work of Da'watul Islam will continue as long as the need for guidance remains. And how long will the need for guidance remain? As long as there is a human being or a jinn on the face of the earth. So therefore the work of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's deen continues forever. Allah honored this ummah. With the previous umam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to them, here is your Nabi, do what your Nabi tells you to do. That's it. When there was a need for guidance, Allah sent another Nabi, and another Nabi, and another Nabi. But with this ummah, as an honor, because Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the last and final one of the messengers, Allah gave the job to us. Please understand this. Try to feel this. You're not ordinary people. Stop trying to live like ordinary people. You are very special people. And you're not special people because you are Hyderabadi. That's a different kind of speciality. You're special people because you are the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you are the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not because of race, not because of nationality, not because of tribe, culture or family. You are the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because you do the work of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So therefore, let us feel this and let us give this job the importance that it deserves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as I mentioned the ayah to you before, Allah said to him, alayhi salam, he is giving him this way of introducing himself. Think about this. If you ask me to introduce myself, what will I say? Will I say I am a wildlife photographer? Although I do that. It won't be wrong if I say that. I'm not a great one, but I take photographs. What else will you call them, even if they're bad ones? Will I say that I am an author and a writer? I do that as well. Will I say that I have written some poetry? I have done it. If you ask me who I am and what I do, I will introduce myself by that which I consider to be the greatest honor that Allah has given me in this life, which is the Imam of this masjid. There is no other honor which I can get greater than this. May Allah bless you all for praying behind me. I am many things. I have many imaginary things to many people, that also, which I never did in my life, but people think. Ask the same question to each of you. You drive a car, but you will never say, I am a driver. You have children, and you should be honored, alhamdulillah, if Allah gave you good children, but you will never say, who are you? I am a father, I am a mother. You don't say that. You introduce yourself by your predominant function, which you consider to be the most important, which adds value to you. I am an advocate, I am a lawyer, I am a doctor, I am a physician, I am a surgeon, I am a businessman, and so on and so forth. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is being taught how to introduce himself. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the general of the army. Now, Allah didn't say, introduce yourself as I am the commander-in-chief. No. He was the ruler of a state. Allah didn't say, introduce yourself as I am the king, I am the ruler, I am the of the state. He was a father, he was a grandfather, he was a teacher. None of those. Allah says, Qul, say, هذه سبيلي, this is my way. أدعو إلى الله, I invite towards Allah. Ajib. I invite towards Allah. And this is the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, that Allah asked him to include us in that introduction. Ana wa mani tabani. I do this work and all those who follow me do this work. Now it's up to us. Allah opened the door for us. Do we want to enter this door? That's up to us. My brothers and sisters, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those who are truly connected to the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And like it was for the Nabi, this job is not a choice left to our discretion. It's incumbent and compulsory on the one who accepts Allah as his Rabb and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as his Nabi and his Rasul, and who enters Islam. In honor of that, he is granted this job of the Nabi alayhi salam as his own personal life goal. The reward of that is the company of the Nabi on the day of judgment and Jannatul Firdaus, inshallah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi salam said, whoever calls to guidance, whoever invites towards Allah, will have a reward similar to that of those who follow it, without the reward of either of them being diminished or lessened in any way. And this is in Sahih Muslim. Whoever invites towards Allah will get the reward similar to that of the one who follows. You ask someone to come for Salah, he comes with you, you get the reward for your Salah and his Salah. And neither of the reward is diminished. That's why the importance of the Mawzin. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you knew the importance of calling the Adhan, he said, you will fight amongst yourselves to call the Adhan. I'm not inviting you to fight. But I'm saying that, understand the importance of that. Calling the Adhan. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned us and he said, I swear by the one who has my life in his hand, It is incumbent upon you. It is farth upon you that you do amar bil maruf wa nahi anil munkar, that you enjoy that which is virtuous and you should forbid that which is evil. Otherwise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send his punishment on you. Then you will pray to him, you will make dua, but your dua will not be answered. And this is in Tirmidhi. This is the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we make dua. Allahumma ansur al-Islam wal-Muslimin wa adhill al-shirk wal-Mushrikeen wa dammir a'da'ad-deen. Have you heard this in every single Jumu'ah, right? Is it happening? We have to ask ourselves, why is it not happening? Because for dua to be answered, the hands which are raised to ask Allah must first have been raised to obey Allah. The hands and the tongue and the eyes and the feet which continuously disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which challenge his ahkam, which go against his sunnah of his Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when they are raised to ask the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no value. There is no value. And therefore I say, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allahumma ansur man nasara deena Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Think about this, we ask people to make dua for us. And this is jais, alhamdulillah, you can ask somebody to make dua. As long as the person is alive, you don't go to a qabr and say make dua. Go to ask somebody who is alive and say, ask them to make dua. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Umar bin al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. He said, make dua for me. So if I ask you, whose dua would you like to have? And if you say, who is the best of them whose dua I can get? Who is the best of them? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua for us. What is his dua? Allahumma ansur man nasara deena Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh Allah, help the one who helps the deen of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if you are helping the deen of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you have the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with you. Allahumma ansur man nasara deena Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he said, Allahumma khuzul man khazala deena Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said, oh Allah, humiliate him and destroy him, the one who tries to work against the deen of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma adina fi man hadait, wa afina fi man afait, wa tawallana fi man tawallait, wa barik lana fi ma atait, wa qina wasrif anna sharra ma qadait, fa innaka taqdi wa la yuqda alayk, fa innahu la yadhillu man walayt, wa la ya'izzu man adait, tabarakta rabbana wa ta'alayt, nastaghfiruk Allahumma wa natubu ilayk. اللهم انصر من نصر دين محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم وجعلنا معهم. اللهم اغزل من خذل دين محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ولا تجعلنا معهم. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. آمين يا رب العالمين. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.